thought as they were singing that song this morning, I am his child. I don't know of a greater privilege than to say I'm a child of God. You could say you're a lot of things today, but it'll never add up to being a child of God. That's the greatest privilege that anyone in this life could have. You could say, well, if I was a prisoner, if I was a multimillionaire, or I would all that. That's little stuff compared to being a child of God. Because child of God, you have everything you need. He said, I'll supply. And then he adds and he multiplies and does many wonderful things for us in this life. And I'm thankful this morning to say I'm a child of God. I'm thankful to be with the saints of God. Always good to see you folks. You know, many of you we've known all of our life. We grew up here with you. And so to see you come back and see you still living for God and endeavoring to be what God wants us to be. And I realize the saints of God, we're in a battle, we're in a fight. But I'm glad that God ain't going to forsake us. God's not going to let us down. If we'll stay with him, we got victory in the end. And I'm glad not only in the end, we can have victory while we're going if we'll do what he wants us to do. I want us, by the help of God this morning, to look with me at a very familiar scripture. And as I was traveling here, I spent some time. We left Birmingham and went to Dallas, Texas, and spent some time there and then come to Columbus. Sometimes they have a funny way of getting you where you're going, but they get you there. And that's the main thing. But while I sat there, my mind was taken to a portion of scripture, and I tell you, it's a very familiar portion, and you can probably ask these other brethren, they've probably had God lay a scripture on their mind, and they'll try to argue with God. Well, they already know all about that. But sometimes God has to back you up and say, hey, look, I'm telling you what to say. And I want to tell you what he told me to say. So go with me to Matthew, the fifth chapter. In Matthew chapter 5, I want to read in verse 1 down through the 16th verse. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth. And he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which do are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted did they prophets when they were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is henceforth good for nothing, but is cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a candlestick or under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want us to look here because I realize that it's a very familiar text, and everyone knows that the Beatitudes are taught in Sunday school and everywhere else and all these other things, and I'm not really going to look at the Beatitudes with you this morning, but I want to pull our minds back here for just a little bit, because the way that it came to me as I sat there waiting there yesterday was Christ is setting forth the high task of a real Christian. You want to know what the task of a real Christian is? Read those 16 verses. He letting us see what you and I as Christians, that's our task. That's our responsibility. And you say, Brother Wilson, what do you mean? He said not only did he come down through all them Beatitudes, but the task was this. You're salt of the earth and light of the world. And as saints of God this morning, I want us to look. And I thought, you know, them sentences don't need a whole lot of explaining. When you stop and really think salt of the earth and light of the world, there's not a whole lot of explaining to need, but it involves two things. And I want us to consider for just a little bit these two things. You say, what are they, Brother Wilson? The first thing that those two sentences involve, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, the first thing it involves is the grave judgment as to the actual state of society. This is letting us see the actual picture of society, what this one shape this world's in. And then second of all, he lets us know the lofty claim as to what Christ's followers are able to do, or just what we're able to accomplish through him, what we're able to do. And that's why you say, oh, Brother Wilson, listen to me for just a minute, and I'll get a foundation and go. But he let us see we live in a society that's corrupt. We live in a society, brothers and sisters, not only corrupt, but it's tending to corruption. Corruption seems to be the thing that our world's after today. And not only, brothers and sisters, of the corruption, as the Bible said, people today are sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh are reaping corruption. So we're seeing corruption on every side. And not only that, but brothers and sisters, I want us to see, when he said, we are salt of the earth, he was letting us see, brothers and sisters, that in order for you and I to do any good, we're going to have to come in close contact. We're going to have to touch lives of people. And that's why I want us to see the only way salt works is when it touches. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, I want you to think with me. You know, we live in a day and time when a lot of people are getting a lot of things misunderstood and don't understand how it works. But I want you to think with me for just a minute. How many of you salt your meat or your potatoes before you eat them? Did you ever salt them? And when the salt hit the meat jumped up and said, oh, I'm salted. No, you know what it does? When that salt hits that product, it starts to work. And you know how you know it's working? You taste it. You never see it, you taste it. And so Jesus is saying to us, come on, church, he's saying to us, you're the taste buds of the world. If the world's ever going to taste Christ, they're going to have to get it from you. They're going to have to taste it out of you. And that's why this morning I want us to see that, brothers and sisters, if the world is ever going to be helped today, it's going to take some close contact. Come on now, the scripture said you're in it, but you're not of it. We're not like the world, but we're in it. Why? We're out there to try to change the taste. Come on, we're out there to make a difference. And that's why this morning I want us to look. But I say, brothers and sisters, much as you and I as saints of God, much of our ability to reach, much of our ability to make a difference, all depends on you and I being in the right place with God. It all depends. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you say, oh, Brother Wilson, come on. You can set a salt shaker on your table and you can tell your companion, everybody else, oh, this stuff needs something. This stuff needs something. But you know what? If you don't never pick it up and shake it, it ain't never going to change. So Jesus was saying to us, brothers and sisters, salt must be scattered. It must be able to touch. Brothers and sisters, if it's going to season or make a difference in our day and time. But I want us to look, and I want you to think with me for just a moment, because Jesus was teaching us something here. And many times, if we just aren't careful, we'll hurry through it and we'll miss it. But how tenderly, here in this text, Jesus put himself, not only here all through the Word of God, but he put himself, brothers and sisters, in contact with ones that needed him. We find, brothers and sisters, there was one over in Samaria that needed him bad. And his disciples said, what are you going this way? He said, it's needful that I go that way. I must go this way. I must do this. What? He was putting himself in contact with those people that needed him all around. And that's why today, how tenderly he set an example. And you know what? He made a difference. You never read in the Word of God where anybody that met Jesus ever stayed like they was. Come on. And that's why this morning I want us as a church to see, brothers and sisters, whether it was a diseased one, a depraved one, brothers and sisters, he let them know that he was there to try to salt them down a little bit. He was there to try to help them just a little bit. And that's why here in this text, Jesus starts out, and I want you to notice, he sat down with his disciples and he opened his mouth. Oh, I don't want to say nothing. You know what? We'd have missed this whole text if Jesus had been like a lot of people today. Oh, I don't want to say nothing. Oh, I'm scared to say something. Well, I want you to notice what Jesus said. He sat down. As soon as he sat down, he opened his mouth. And you know what he started telling them? Disciples, if you want to be successful, if you want to make a difference in your day and time, let me give you a list of things you need to look at. And that's what he went through. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you say, ah, Brother Wilson, come on. He let us see, as Jesus describes these elements, brothers and sisters, of what we call the Beatitudes. And not only elements, the features. He said, if you'll do this, that's an element, you'll have this feature. Come on, he said, look, if you be a peacemaker, that's a feature. You know, that's an element. You know, this feature will be, you'll have to be a peaceful person. Come on. But you know what? I preached to my people a while back about peacemakers. We're living at a day and time, we got too many people running around with gas cans. Come on. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers are ones trying to take care of things. Come on. But too many today want to pour gas on it. Come on. And that's why, brothers and sisters, as he explained these characteristics, and they're characteristics of a Christian if you'll study them. Brothers and sisters, as he explained them, brothers and sisters, to his disciples, was he letting us see? He was getting to the point. Why? Because he come on and said, you're salt and you're light. He was getting to a point. He was wanting them to understand. And that's why this morning I want us to see if you and I today that are children of God, called to live for God and work for God, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to be useful to other people, we're going to have to learn how, first of all, to possess the Beatitudes and then how to have salt and light in our lives. And that's why Jesus let us see. And that's why I want us to look. But I want you to notice, after he come down through there and he laid out those elements that you and I ought to have, those characteristics in our life that'll make us a different person, that'll make us able to be what he wants us to be, he also stopped and he gave us a warning. Come on, you say, Brother Wilson, what do you mean? After he went through the 3rd to the 12th verse telling us about these attitudes, or I tell my people the attitudes it ought to be. They're the attitudes that we as God's people ought to have. Come on. But after he explained them to them, he said, look, but I want you to know to possess such character, to possess such things in your life, brothers and sisters, then it's going to go against what the world's after. And when you possess these things, you're going to have some adversity. You're going to have some heartache. You're going to have some things that let you down. You say, ah, oh, Brother Wilson, come on. He said, look, remember how they did what they did to the prophet? Or in so many words, he's saying this to his church. You know what? If there never had been an Abel, there couldn't have been an Abel if there hadn't been a Cain. Come on, the only way Abel got to be what he was is because there was a Cain. If there wasn't no Cain, there couldn't have been an Abel. And the only way you and I, as saints of God, are going to be able to be what we've got to be, there's got to be a world. Come on, there's got to be somebody that needs help. And that's why I want us to see. But he said in that 11th verse, as he come down there, and he said to this, if you suffer, if you do what I ask you to do in those verses, and then you suffer, you may suffer for my sake. Not your sake, for my sake. He let us see that it may happen. And what's he letting us see, brothers and sisters? Just the same as you and I pass through things, just the same as we live for God, and we, brothers and sisters, adversities come our way and things happen to us. We're serving God. We're doing it for God's good. And he let us see, you're going to do these things. And that's what I tell people all the time. Well, I look out there in the world, and they're having a big time. But I said, listen, if you're really doing what God wants you to do, there's high times, but there's also times of reality. Come on. There's times of reality that we have to go through. What that brings us down to the real world and lets us know, hey, you must be getting a little salt out there. Because you're getting some taste back. Come on. And that's why this morning I want us to see. And then he said, even in the 12th verse, he said, they persecuted the prophets before me. Or what's Jesus saying to all of us this morning? You're not the first. Come on, just remember, when you go through a hard place or a trial for the sake of Christ, you're not the first one that had to go through it. And you know what? You probably won't be the last one if this world lasts. But what did he let us see, brothers and sisters? And I'm trying to get to the text in the 13th verse. He said, yet ye are salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. What's he saying? Brothers and sisters, I want us to stop and realize, because we live in a day and time when if we ain't careful as saints of God, the enemy will cause us to think, well, it must just be the day and time we're in. No, I want to look you to look at the scripture with me by the help of God. He said, you're salt of the earth. But if a salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. What did he let us see? Saints of God, this morning, we're salt of the earth. And if the world, brothers and sisters, if our world's preserved, if our world tastes changed, it's going to be up to you and I. It's going to be up to what we can do through God. And that's why you say, oh, Brother Wilson, you really believe that? Yeah, brothers and sisters, study the Word of God. Then many of you old saints here going to know what I'm talking about. There's been many of people that lived for God in the past. There's been many of people that was faithful to God in the past. There's no doubt where they're at this morning. But brothers and sisters, you know what? They didn't have in themselves enough power to change the world around them. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, I don't believe it. Let me give you some Bible examples real quick. Bible said Noah was a just man. And for over 100 years, he preached to people that needed justice. But you know what the Bible said, brothers and sisters? He didn't have enough salt to save that world. No, the Bible said just 8 of them. And you know what? I think about 3/4 of them was forced into it. Why? Because study what happened afterwards. But you know what, brothers and sisters? The Bible said Noah labored righteously, but he couldn't do it. You tell me, you are that the only one, Brother Wilson? I'll give you another one. The Bible said Lot was a righteous man. But you know what? And brothers and sisters, not only said he was a righteous man, he was vexed. Come on, he was upset with how those people were living. But you know what, brothers and sisters? He could not stay the terrible corruption of that day. He couldn't change it. Or the Bible lets us know that 10 righteous people would have spared the city. But one couldn't do it. But one didn't do it. And that's why I could go on and on. But here, brothers and sisters, it's Jesus Christ. And he's setting before us, brothers and sisters, he's letting you see the purpose of you and I living for him. The effects, brothers and sisters, that it can have on a world around us. And you know what, brothers and sisters, that's what he calls us to do, is have an effect on those around us. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we are here to affect people. And I might say right behind that, we are affecting people. One way or the other, we're having an effect on them. And that's why, brothers and sisters, he said himself, if you look at Jesus, he said himself to provide sufficient quality of salt. Everywhere he went, he put a little salt. And I hope you're picking up on the idea. I'm trying to save time. But you know what? Every work Jesus did was a salting action. whether it was healing, whether it was saving, whether it was helping. Come on. And that's why he used that term salt. Why? He took a vast, maybe pages of understanding and put it in one word. You're salt. Come on. He let us see that we're salt. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I want us to see, as what he's letting us see, brothers and sisters, is the great influence of true Christians on a rotten, wicked, corrupt world that's all around us. You and I have an opportunity to have an input, have an impact. And that's why, brothers and sisters, this morning I want us to realize to be salt, brothers and sisters, is to be useful to our fellow men. Come on, it's to be useful. And you say, ah, Brother Wilson, come on, saints, brothers and sisters, Christ, if you read his word, he taught you and I, and he taught everyone, but he taught us, brothers and sisters, that we might teach others, he said. I'm teaching you, why? Because I want you to teach others. He blesses us so we can go bless others. He helps us so we can help others. Come on, that's what he taught us all through the word of God. And that's why I say today, many, many today have not stopped long enough to consider, to stop long enough and look. Why? I'm not having the impact. I'm not making the impression. Could it be, brothers and sisters, and you say, oh, Brother Wilson, I'll get there in a minute, but could it be that your salt that's lost its savor? Come on, you say, ah, Brother Wilson, come on, saints, we're living in a day and time when you and I, if we're not careful, the enemy will do anything he can to us. And if he causes you and I to lose our ability to make the right impression, to tell the right things to people, we're salt that's lost its savor. And that's why I say this morning, we must stop and understand. But the great, you say, ah, Brother Wilson, the great secret, and I got ahead of myself, but the great secret of usefulness is goodness. Come on, if you really want to be useful, you're going to have goodness about you. Come on, you say, ah, Brother Wilson, how do you know? Because if you'll study salt, and I'm not going into a lot, but if you'll study salt, brothers and sisters, salt is always connected to purity. Come on, it's always connected to purity. Romans said that salt was the purest of all things because it came from the purest of all things. It came from the sun and the sea. And he let us see because it came from those pure things, brothers and sisters. Or if you go back in the Old Testament teaches us that the sacrifice, the most primitive sacrifice to God, was to be salted. It had to be salted. Why? That Jewish sacrifice had to be salted with salt. Why? To pureness. It had to be the pureness of everything. And that's why, brothers and sisters, he let us see. But if you look, brothers and sisters, but to be. And Christ said, I want you to be salt of the earth. Come on, he didn't say, I want you to be salt on God's sacrifice. He said, I'm calling you a saints of God today because I want you to salt the earth. I want you to be salt of the earth. And that's why this morning, brothers and sisters, he let us see, we as saints of God, listen to me closely, we must be examples in purity. Come on, we must be examples. You say, why, Brother Wilson? We're living in a day and time when lowering the standards of our Christian characteristics is not the answer. We're living in a day and time, brothers and sisters, when we need to stop and look, brothers and sisters. And you say, oh, Brother Wilson, I know all about that. But no, listen to me a minute. Brothers and sisters, the saints of God this morning, we need to stop and check our standards of honesty. Come on. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, the Bible said, as much as lieth within us, we better tell it like it is. Come on, I realize things can get twisted and you go back and have to make it right. I don't know, I realize that. But we need as saints of God to stop and check our standards in honesty. Brothers and sisters, our diligence in our work to God. Come on, not only our diligence, brothers and sisters, everything that has to do with our Christian character, we need to stop and make sure, hey, I'm not letting the enemy move me a little bit, am I? You say, ah, Brother Wilson, come on, we must. Listen to me this morning, church. We must hold aloft today as the standards of absolute purity in our speech, in our conduct, and in our thoughts. Amen. You say, ah, oh, Brother Wilson, we should, every one of us, we should have certain influences on life in general. When we're around people, we ought to be able to have an influence. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, most of you know I grew up here. I lived here for half of my life. I only been gone half of it. But I worked over here at Chesron for about 18 years. I was in sales. You know what? I so lived that I could walk up to a group of men talking, and they'd see me coming, and they'd say, don't talk that way, here comes Wills. He don't listen to that stuff. Come on, come on. You say, ah, oh, Brother Wilson, come on, saints, we ought to live in such a way. Come on, I got friends up the street from where I live. They'll come down and see me, and there'll be others walking by, and they'll stop and talk. They may get off collar in their language. You know what my neighbor or one of them will say to us? Don't talk like that in front of Brother Wilson. Why? They know I'm not for that. They know I'm not for that. And I realize there's times when you just walk into a situation and it flies off before you can do anything about it. But let me tell you something you ought to have. We're a known friendship. You ought to be able to have some influence. Christian influence. And you know what? If you're going to have a Christian influence, you're going to have to live a Christian life. And I'm not talking about just inside these walls. I'm talking about inside those big walls out there. The walls of the earth and sky. Amen. Amen. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, as Christians, come on, we ought to be able to clean up some things. Our presence ought to clean up some things. Not only clean it up, brothers and sisters, it ought to make a difference. And that's why I say this morning, saints, we must watch. We must be careful. Why? We've been called to a grave responsibility. You know what? If the world don't get no salt, we can't blame it on somebody else. Because you know what Jesus said? Ye. All of us, we're here. What we're here for? Put a little preserving on this world. Get a little taste. Give them a little taste. Come on. That's why I say this morning, but I want you to notice something. Jesus also in this setting, as he came down through there, he gave a warning. And he said, Look with me at that 13th verse. He said, but, now you let us know you're salt. I've called you to be salt, church. But, he let us know that if we don't keep our guard up, something can happen. Come on. He said, but, if the salt loses its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but is cast out and trodden under the foot of man. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, he let us see, he gave us a warning and said, we must watch the faculties of our usefulness. We must watch our usefulness. Why? If we're not careful, it can decay. Our usefulness can decay. You say, ah, oh, Brother Wilson, I look like a Christian. I dress like a Christian. My hair looks like a Christian. Jesus is saying, yeah, you may have all the symptoms, but if you've lost the ability to flavor, you've lost it. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, I'll tell you how it came to me. All of you know, when we were growing up, Dad raised ponies and horses. And out there in the field, he always kept a salt block. on a pole. Why? Those animals have to have that salt, he said, to cause them to desire water. But you know what? You could set it out there in the field, and as it rained and the sun and everything shined on it, you walk down there and he'd say, hey, how's that salt block? Oh, Dad, it's good. And you know what? He'd take you down there. And if you'd look at it, yeah, it was still square. It might have been rounded a little bit from the weather. He'd say, no, son, I don't want you to look at it. I want you to taste it. What? Dad, you want me to lick that block that the horses and ponies are licking? That's the only way you're going to tell, son. He never did it, but he had us do it. And you know what? It could have looked good. It was white like it was. We put it up there. It still had the same form. But you know what? It was like licking sandpaper. There wasn't nothing there. Come on. And this is what Jesus is saying, church. You got to be careful because I've called you to a very useful job. I've called you to a very responsible place. But you know what? If you're not careful, decay can set in. Decay can set in. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, he let us see. Brothers and sisters, when he calls us, he lets us see that while we're called to preserve, we're called to help, we're called to save a lost world. But while we're called to do that, we must also watch. Why? Because there's also an enemy that like to take us down a form. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, I don't believe it. Go over to Galatians. Paul warned him. He said, hey, church, you got a form of godliness. You may have looked like it, but you lost what it really possesses you. You lost that ability to touch. And that's why, dear ones, this morning, you say, ah, Brother Wilson, come on, brothers and sisters, why don't you and I, as saints of God, see more touching in lives? Could it be? Come on. And I ask myself this. Could it be I'm not as salty as I need to be?
Right. Very good. Right on.
Come on. Could it be God's got more salt for me? The Bible said he does.
Very good. Right.
The Bible said he does. And that's why this morning, brothers and sisters, and you say, ah, Brother Wilson, why did he picture it that way? Think with me just a minute. He said, I want you to be salt. Why? He wanted to picture to you and I something we understood. What? Unless it ever gets out of the shaker, it ain't no good. We can walk around with all the goodness of God can give us inside of us. We can have all the blessings. Oh, God's done wonderful things for me. But you know what? If we don't ever shake it. Come on. You say, what's shaking it, Brother Wilson? Giving it out a little bit. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way I can help you? Come on. Come on. And that's why I say this morning he pictured to us something that we could all understand. You say, why did he do it that way, Brother Wilson? Because all you got to do is taste meat without it and know it needs a little and put it on there. And you know what? You got the biblical picture of what you and I are supposed to do.
Right.
Our world's out there is meat unsalted. Come on. You and I has got to add the taste.
Amen.
We got to add the taste. That's why, brothers and sisters, he let us see that we must be careful. You say, why must we be careful, Brother Wilson? Because we can hold to outward things and lose that inward possession.
Right on it,
oh, that thing that makes us what we need to be. That thing that really makes us able to help somebody else. And that's why he let us see. But look what he said in our hurry. He says to us in the 14th, 15th, 16th verse, he said, you're not only salt, but I want you to be light. I want you to be light. A city. He said, I want to picture it to it this way. I want you to be a city sitting out on top of the hill. And everybody sees it. In other words, he said, I want you to be unseen, be able to be not be missed. I want everybody to see you. Come on. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, and I'm sure saints of God, as you study the Word of God, he wasn't teaching, let's go out and be obnoxious. He wasn't teaching, go out and flaunt your holiness in people's face. No, but you know what he did say? I want you to so live your life that others will see your good works and know it's not you doing it, but it's something powerful inside of you. Come on. That's why he let us see, brothers and sisters, if we put foremost in our lives the light, be salt, and the light is lived out in our actions. What? You say, Brother Wilson, how do you know it's lived out in our actions? Because look what he went on and said. He said, you don't light a candle, put it under a bushel.
Right.
Come on, you don't get a Christian life and then go hide it.
Right.
No, you don't light a light and put it under a bushel, but you put it on the candlestick. And you know what it does? A whole house is able to get light out of it. The whole house is able to see it. And that's why he's letting us see, brothers and sisters. You say, Brother Wilson, why do you use that term? Because if you'll study that setting back in Palestine at that time, the candle was just a bowl of oil with a floating wick in it. And they didn't have matches and lighters and everything like we got today. If that light went out, they had a tough time getting it relit.
Uh-huh.
And so you know what they'd do? They'd set that light up on a candlestick while they was in the house.
Yes.
And that light would give light to everything around. But then when they went out of the house, they'd take that lamp and set it down into an earthen vessel to protect the house while they were gone. But just as soon as they come back, you know what they did? Put it right back up there. That's what Jesus said. You don't light a candle, put it in darkness. You put it on a candlestick, and it makes a difference. And that's why he's letting us see, brothers and sisters, you and I, the light has to be seen. It has to be seen.
Very good.
Christianity, come on this morning, and I'm talking about real Christianity. Is something that's meant to be seen. It's something that everyone ought to see in us. Come on. That's why this morning, brothers and sisters, there's no such thing. And I know we live in a day and time when these people are not only coming up with new names to worship under, but they're coming up with new ideas and all this other stuff that's, I don't know where they got it. But let me tell you something. There's no such thing as secret discipleship. Come on, get away from that idea. Come on, you say, why, Brother Wilson? Well, if you're really a disciple, brothers and sisters, the secret deeds will be destroyed by the discipleship.
Right.
Come on, if you're a real disciple. Or, brothers and sisters, the discipleship will destroy the secrecy. Right. Come on, if you're a real child of God, read what the Bible says it'll do to you. And that's why this morning, brothers and sisters, this morning, Christianity, our Christianity, Jesus letting us see, must become visible to everyone. It's just not visible to the ones we want to, but it ought to be visible to everyone. Everyone ought to see it. That's why I say this morning, you say, oh, Brother Wilson, think with me, and I'll quit here in just a minute. Jesus said this. Jesus didn't come to these people as his disciples, and we're his disciples of this day. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, how do you know? Because he said, while I was in the world, I was the light. But now I'm going away. And ye. Come on. And that's why this morning, as saints of God, I want you to notice something. He didn't say, you're the light of the church. No. Why? You know what I found in pastoring people now for about 27 years? Best behaviors inside the church walls. Is that right? Oh, everybody's on their best behavior in here. But you know what? He didn't say, I want you to be the light of the church. I want you to be a light out there. I want you to make a difference out there. And that's why, brothers and sisters, our Christianity must be perfectly visible to all. must be perfectly visible to all. And that's why this morning I want to ask you, as saints of God, where are you putting your light? Where are you putting your light? You say, Brother Wilson, are you hiding it or are you giving it out? Are you hiding it? I don't know whether I ought to say anything or not. You know what? One thing about it, saints, you can give out light all day long and you'll never run out of it because there's plenty. That's one thing there ain't no shortage of. And that's why you say, Brother Wilson, light this morning, if you'll study the Word of God, light is a spatial feature, or it's a type of God. Why? Go over and see what John said in 1 John. He said, God is light. Come on. So when he said, ye are the light, he letting us see. We're supposed to be showing people God. They want to know how God ought to act when they're a grocery store? Look at us. They want to know how God ought to act out the factory? Right here.
Right down.
Want to know how God ought to act when you're out with your friends? Come on, saints. And that's why he said, you light, or you're God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I want us to see God is not only light, but he's a source of purity. He's a source of beauty. He's a source of joy. He's a source of peace. And you know what that says? If he's a source of it, and we are it, those ought to all be sources of us. Amen? That's why, brothers and sisters, or maybe I should say it this way, in the strictest sense, Christ is the light of the world. Without him, the Bible said, the world goes into darkness. We're the only thing holding back the darkness, saints. We're the only thing preserving what little preserving is being done. It's up to you and I. And that's why this morning, dear ones, Christian light is something we ought to give out. But in closing, think with me. The Christian light is actually obtained by another source. If you and I are real light tonight, this morning, we obtain that light from another source. Or could we say, maybe in the understandable sense, we're Christ's satellites? Huh? Come on, all we're doing is reflecting what he's sending. They say that's all a satellite did. It's a littler planet circling around a bigger one. Well, ain't he the bigger one? Ain't we the little ones? Come on. So we're circling around him. And what we're doing, you're the light. So how are you getting it? The big one's sending it down to us, and we're just reflecting it out. Come on, we're just reflecting it out. Where'd you get that? The big one sent it down to me. Come on. The big one sent it my way. Amen? And that's why this morning, saints, we need to realize, but we need the saints of God to let our light out. Let our light shine. You say, why, Brother Wilson? Think with me in closing the words that Jesus said, and I want to take them apart real quick with you. He said, let your light shine. He let us see, brothers and sisters, first of all, there's an effort on our part. And that effort is necessary to develop the proper influence of Christian character. That effort. If you're going to let a light out, you're going to have to properly develop some good Christian character, some good Christian living. Not only an effort, brothers and sisters, but I want you to notice what he said. I want you to let it shine. And you know what? That which does not shine is not light. Come on, did you ever go into a room and flip the light switch and the light bulbs burn out? And you say, well, the light switch is on, the light's there, everything's there, but it's dark. Why? That which is not light is dark. Come on, it's dark. And that's why, brothers and sisters, but I want you to notice, Jesus said, I just don't want you to shine. I want you to so shine. What is he saying, brothers and sisters? Saints of God, in the day and time you're living, I need you to shine brightly. I need you to be a bright light. That light, that source, brothers and sisters, that makes a difference. Not only did he say so shine, but he also said, I want you to shine conspicuously. You say, where do you get it, Brother Wilson? He said, I want you to be a city set on a hill. I want you to be a city set on the hill. There are far too many today who, brothers and sisters, don't have the natural or the moral courage to stand by themselves. They don't have. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, come on, saints. Every one of us who's been here very long know people that struggles in their Christian experience. They're up and down. It isn't because they're bad people. It isn't because they may don't want to do what's right. No, they don't have what it takes in themselves. And they haven't ever learned this. I can't do this on my own. But you know what? That's where you and I are called to be that city. We're called to be a city. What? Those ones that are struggling. You and I are supposed to stand there and keep the light shining. Why? Because the Bible said they'll come, but it may take a little time. And you know what? Let's be honest, saints. We all have short times there. We want everybody to get saved, get rooted and grounded, get going, get at it, man, right now. But everybody don't work that way. I found in pastoring people, bringing people off the street and working with them for over 27 years, there's people who come in and get rooted and grounded in the truth and come right along. But then there's other people 3-4 years down the road, you're still doing the first works with them. And you know what? It don't bother me because there's a soul. I just keep giving them salt, giving them salt, giving them salt. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we're to support our weaker people. We're to support them. Why, brothers and sisters, how many of you remember the old song my dad, your mom used to sing, there's a light guiding me. That song said, there's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And it holds me steadfast to its way and its love. It's guiding me through temptations and evil. There's a light guiding me to the heaven above. Well, come on, saints. Not only out there, but sometimes people need guiding lights. Come on, you say, oh, Brother Wilson, I can name some in my Christian life that as I come up through and I grew and mature in my Christian life, there was lights that was consistent. Every service you could count on them being there. Every service you could count on them having something to do that'd help. Every service. We not only need to be concerned about the world this morning, church, but we need to be concerned about our brothers and sisters. Come on. We need to be concerned about them. And then, brothers and sisters, and last of all, he let us see that we must shine warningly. We must shine warningly. You say, ah, Brother Wilson, a light can often be a warning light. You say, Brother Wilson, what do you mean? Well, on the car, on other things now. You know, sometimes we call them idiot lights, but they're really not that dumb because they come on and you pay attention to it, it might save you big bucks. You know, if you're driving down the road and the oil light comes on, you know, hey, you better shut this thing off or you're going to be in trouble. Well, that's the way you and I ought to be. Not only are we salt and lights to a world, to the church, sometimes, saints, we need to be warning lights. Warning lights that tells us, hey, There may be some danger ahead. There may be some plit. You better check the road you've picked. Come on, I know you can't. You can't tell PA, you know, you're wrong. Oh, no, not that attitude. But in a loving, God-given spirit, say, hey, I'm concerned about you. The avenue, the turn you've made touches me spiritually. Warning lights to younger ones, to others that may make a mistake. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you and I are called not only to be salt, but to be lights. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we must see this morning, we've been called to shine with one end in view. There's one end in view. You say, what's that, Brother Wilson? To glorify God. Right. We're called to shine to glorify God. You say, oh, where'd he say it? He said, whatsoever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever, do it all to the glory of God. That's why we're called to salt, to light, so that God can get the glory, a guiding light. Basically, what it boils down to is you and I have been called to be a guiding light to others. We've been called to be a guiding light to others, to point them in the right direction to home or to heaven. That's why this morning I want us as the people of God to stop and realize, while Jesus called us to this high task, while he called us to this responsible setting, he also gave us a warning. He said, if salt, that's what we are. But if we lose our ability to savor, or put in language everyone understands, salt either preserves or flavors. If we lose our ability to flavor this world or preserve this world, we've lost our ability to be what God wants us to be. And I know the enemy will cause us to think, well, I do this, I do this, I do this. That's all good and wonderful. And thank God for every labor, every worker, everyone that does anything to help in the church. We thank God for them. But what I want to ask you this morning is, how's your salt? Very good. When it comes time, in the right situation, at the right place, are you able? Put a little salt on the matter. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, and I thought early this morning, you're not mad at me, are you? But listen, I thought earlier this morning, you know, salt is a word that can mean a lot of things. When we were great, and when we was raising my children, we had five of them, and we would sit down at a meal to eat, and if the conversation got on something they shouldn't have been talking about, I used to just tell them, pass the salt. They knew what it meant. That's not the conversation to talk about. Come on. You know, sometimes, saints of God, I think God's standing back here to the church saying, church, pass the salt. Pass the salt. You've got carried off into something that don't amount to nothing. Pass the salt. Let's get refocused. Get back on the call of the day. Why? Time's short. Time's running out. And if we are able to see our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, spared before it's too late, we're going to have God endue us with a special amount of salt and shine our lights. You say, oh, Brother Wilson, I don't know how many of you, it's a lot of you older people who know what I'm talking about, but them coil oil lamps have the glass globes on them. Down there in the south, they don't keep the trees trimmed out of the wires like we do up here. So every time you have a little breeze or the wind blows a little hard, the electric goes off. A while back, the electric went off, and my wife got out that lamp, and she lit it, and some of the grandkids was there. And you know what? They're just like everybody else. You know, that light will only light so far. That coil lamp only burns so high if you want light. It ain't how high the flame is. It's how it's trimmed. So you know what the kids want to do? She set it there on the table and we was around there. It was dark and this light was lighting the room. And so the first thing I know, the kids want to crank the knob. Crank the knob. Crank the knob. You know, they think because the flame's getting way up here, man, we're really doing something. But what they don't realize, the more flame, the more smoke. And it isn't long till the inside of that globe's black. There's no light getting out. Come on. And you know what you have to do? You have to take the globe off. You have to turn it back down, get it set where it's supposed to, clean it all out, put it back on there, and it'll work like it's supposed to. Well, I wonder sometimes, church, and listen to me, I didn't charge anybody. I said, I wonder if we try to burn more than what we are. And instead of really being light, we're just smoking up the globe. You know, the enemy, you study the word of God, the enemy doesn't say, I'm going to try to influence you to do all wrong. No, you know what he'll do? If he can't get you to do wrong, then he'll jump on the running boards of your Christian experience and say, go faster, go harder, do more, and get you to outrun yourself. Smoke up the globe. Come on. And that's why this morning I ask us, the saints of God, how's our salt? You say, well, Brother Wilson, my salt is there. But I want to ask you something. Do you want to be more effective? Do you want to be able to reach more? The Bible said, then ask. And God will give it to us. You want to be able to make a greater impression on those around you? Ask God to make you more light. God knows how to increase the illumination of our lives. Why? He knows where to put us that it'll make the most impact. But you know what? We have to ask him. We have to ask him. And that's why this morning I ask his church, do we want to be more salt? Do we want to have more salt? Do we want to have more light? While we stand, won't you come and ask him, Heavenly Father, striven again this morning to the best of the ability you've given us.